Welcome to the RAND CRE Show. Commercial real estate with no stone left unturned.
Hey everyone, welcome to the RAND CRE Show. I'm your host, Mike Taravella, and today I have an amazing, special, fantastic guest. She's the queen of all things, I think real estate would be more appropriate, commercial real estate, anything from the Knoxville MSA East to Tennessee and probably even Europe at this point by the time this is coming out and recording. We have Solange Velas on the podcast. You recognize her from MM4. She was the broker on the stage, provided a ton of value, but I wanted to get her a one-on-one so that she can properly steal the show, unlike Bo and the other brokers on stage. So welcome to the show, Solange. How are you doing today?
I am doing great, Mike. Thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Solange's job is to make my job easier and to make Jake happy. So as you can tell, it's probably a very easy job. So
you guys are great.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you so much, Solange. So I think one thing too is just what, like similar to MM4, what have you kind of been seeing going on in Knoxville? Could you do a little bit, a lot of the commercial real estate? And for those who don't know, Solange targets anywhere from smaller multifamily to larger, some retail. So you really specialize in the Knoxville, East Tennessee market. So what have you kind of been seeing in that particular space in the last 6 months to, we'll say 6 months, because I feel like a year ago is like a whole new market.
Yes, Mike, there have been some dramatic changes, especially over the last 18 months. And then it has really accelerated in the last 6 months. Knoxville and the surrounding five counties have hit the national target. We're a great place to live. We've got Amazon fulfillment centers coming in. And what's happened is we have a shortage of occupancy in terms of we have not enough apartments, not enough single family. And of course, with the cost of construction, really no building going on. So the end effect is rental rates have skyrocketed. And of course, that drives the value of rental real estate. And again, my focus is primarily multifamily. I do some mobile home parks. I've done a little office and I've done some land. But today I'm going to talk mostly about multifamily and what's happening right now. We like single family homes across the nation. We have a very tight market in multifamily. Typically, let's say in our MLS here, you might see 100 properties for sale. Today, it was 40. And you are seeing more money than product. And so therefore, values have been driven up. We're seeing multiple offers, right and left. Tomorrow, I'm attending an open house, Mike, and an open house at an apartment building. Who would have thought that? We are seeing where brokers are putting out listings and it says basically no price on them. You know, it just says bring an offer and they give you a due date and a time frame and you have to come up with a price. And then if you're lucky to be in the final five or four, they're going to come back to you usually a week or two later and ask you if you can go ahead and come back with your best and final. So it's just changed dramatically, the landscape. Mike, if I mention for a moment, some guidance for buyers in this market.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the buyers have got to be ready. Just like we see in the single family market, which I don't work in, but of course I keep an eye on, buyers have got to get pre-qualified. Buyers have got to have a lender in their back pocket that is willing to say, hey, I'm going to lend on these people. I've looked at their tax returns, I've looked at their credit scores, I've looked at their experience, and we are willing to go forward. And why? Because your due diligence periods now are really tight. Again, the property I'm looking at tomorrow, they only want to give us a 15-day due diligence period. And quite frankly, that covers our time frame to know whether we're going to get a loan or not. So buyers got to be really strong and have a comfort level that they're going to be able to get financing. Buyers have got to be prepared to go hard money. I know it's scary, but you may have to say, hey, you know what? After my due diligence period, goodbye to my earnest money. You know, and there's just, and so it's a different thing. Buyers have got to make offers now without having all their answers. And in fact, I mean, they may be going in blind. So you've got to trust the agent you're working with. You've got to have some feeling for sure you're comfortable with the property. You can use Google if you're out of the area for street views, but you're competing with very strong buyers and you may be competing with all cash offers.
I think it's super helpful that you just go through that breakdown, because I think it's, you know, with our education brand, we're just telling people is like the speed of the game is so important to make sure you have your property manager team, your lending in order, your KPs kind of dialed in, because the last thing you want to do is you win the offer and then you don't, can't execute, because then that ruins the broker relationship. But I think too, even in not to take a further step back in Knoxville, New York Times published saying Knoxville is the fourth highest change for one bedroom at 27%. So yeah. If the New York Times is dialing in Knoxville, a lot more people are going to be dialing in, and it's already been a crazy competitive market. I mean, we lost out on groups to Austin, Texas, and just so, you know, there's just a lot more competition in the space because multifamily has proven to survive a pandemic. I mean, looking at the commercial landscape, you had office not do well, retail not do well. You had multifamily flourish, industrial flourish. And so it's just, and then mobile homes flourish. So it's like anything housing, people are just throwing money at it. So it's just important that don't just write offers to win the deals, but making sure you understand your buying criteria on the front end so that you can quickly move and buy. And it also helps to have investors lined up as well to make you feel a lot more confident in closing and qualifying on loans.
I agree 100%. And I had a conversation yesterday with somebody from California, and they actually said, where are your cap rates? And I said, you have to understand, I'm always shooting behind the eight ball, because the transaction that happens tomorrow may be different than the transaction that happened and we got information on 30 days ago. So give you an example, 30 units that closed, and it closed at a 5.37 cap. This buyer out of California, this investor was shocked. You know, he's like, where's the 6 cap? The 6 cap was 60 to 90 days ago, and now it's a 5.37. And where is it going from there? We don't know. We are approaching the type of cap rates you might see in other markets. But that's because our market is now become very similar. Still worth buying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with inflation risk and interest, oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, I think the value is still there. I think just as an investor is to having those lending terms, because I've talked to a lot of investors, and the biggest thing is like lenders pull out or lenders change the terms last minute. So it's just super important that you stress test your deal at certain leverages and like do a sensitivity analysis of interest rates as well. Because if you are dependent on 75% loan to value or loan to cost, like, and it has to fit that box, you're just at a big disadvantage because lender terms change. They've talked about interest rates going up 5 times. I personally, they said that before. We were talking about that before the recording. Like, yeah, interest rates are supposed to go up 4 times and interest rates are 4.5. We're still going to buy apartments. And every market is different too, in the sense of having the expansion and the downturn. Like Little Rock, Arkansas, a year ago was in a recessionary period, and now it's upticking up. Knoxville is continuing to be hot because of the job growth, no state income tax, close to the Smokies. Like, it is a destination point. So it's just like, as you're looking at these markets, just making sure you're being aware. And I can even imagine from your point of view how to do a BOV when in 30 days, everything is changing from rents to lending. Like, and I've talked to some brokers and they're like, it is really hard to do a BOV. Like, you submit a BOV and a week later, the game has changed. So I couldn't even imagine that process.
Right, right. And keep in mind, when the New York Times said that, let's say the one bedrooms went up 27%, our rents were below market. So yes, it looks like a dramatic surge, but we were underpriced. And also apartments were underpriced. And I think the primary driving factor for that was when I first came here. I came from Los Angeles. When I first came here 27 years ago, I've always brokered apartments. And what I discovered was that only local buyers bought. So they controlled the market. Well, now you've got the market open to buyers from all over the United States, and they see the value. And they see, I was speaking to somebody today, and they're looking at rents and they're looking and saying, hey, our property manager here in Knoxville says, you know, we can raise those rents 40% because they're so under, so low. Now, you can't achieve that overnight, but over time, and that may offset any interest rate increases. That's the hope anyways. But you know,
even
what?
If interest rates go up, it's buying on those market fundamentals. I still think, you know,
yeah,
we're buying apartments at 4.5%. You know, people are buying homes at 17-22% interest. Like, it's just it's a line item on a spreadsheet. And as long as you're buying those good market fundamentals, affordable housing and market, and people need a place to live,
They do.
And it's like I hate that cliche, but it's just like the housing is an issue in America. So if you have it, you're either having it or Blackstone's going to buy it. So,
well, it's the one thing I've seen. I've always been an investor. I say I drank the Kool-Aid and started with a triplex and a fourplex. So personally, I own 76 stores with my husband. And so what I've seen is how rental real estate keeps up with inflation. So regardless of recessions, it doesn't matter. Things go up, things go down, but my rents, and as I say, those darn tenants, they pay the mortgage.
Yeah. And I think, everywhere Solange goes, the markets get hot. So stick around here for a little bit longer, Solange, so we can keep riding the wave.
Oh, well, you know, I've only been here 27 years. You know, I got another 27 to go.
No, that's great. I think it's just, yeah. And that's buying hard assets is the one thing to counteract, like to hedge yourself against inflation. So I don't see apartments slowing down. I think what happened, we haven't been super aggressive on Bridge. Our Bridge is community bank debt, in which we've used up for a long, long time, making sure that we can get that Bridge to agency. But I think a lot of, you know, not to hate on Bridge, but I think some investors are like fully dependent on fully levered agency loans that in 3 to 4, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And I think the risk is that if you're underwriting at a 75 refi, the deal will still work at 70, 65, 60. Probably not all the time, but it's just making sure you can live with those results, because we got a quote on a product and it was 54%. I mean, the rents were low. It was like 54% agency. Like that's a tough market. Wow. And we're not even like in a distressed period. And even on bigger deals we've looked at, we found they're lower levered deals. So it's just making sure that not only do you talk on the acquisition financing, but talk to your agency lender on, as you're buying it, so that you know what your plans look like. And it won't be perfect, but just making sure you have your Bridge established and your endpoint as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I just talked to a client yesterday, and I, with the hopes that he was ready to sell, but he refinanced and got some great financing. And he's like, no, I pulled out a little cash and I'm going to sit tight. And I said, okay. I said, are you ever going to, you know, want to pay off those loans? He goes, no, my kid's going to inherit them, which is an interesting thought. But in the end, he reduced his loan payments. And so his cash flow has increased. So yeah.
And he can take his kids on vacation.
There you go.
If they're lucky.
If they're lucky.
Awesome. So I think, Solange, I want to hit on a couple points, because I know we've had other brokers who work with kind of some newer buyers, and just want to see, just kind of introduce, you know, what are some things that a buyer can do that really stands out in a good way? And then we'll go through the bad way, but like in standing out in a good way when you first pick up the phone, because I think it's just when people get overwhelmed, they're like, I just call a broker. And they're like, yeah, they talk to all the owners. They're your friends. They're not the enemies. So, but what are some things an investor can do when talking to a broker that stands out in a positive way?
So we're talking about if, like, let's say an investor is calling me, they're a new investor. Yeah.
Like and ring, ring. It's Mikey.
Yeah, how do they get on my radar and stay there?
In a good way. In a good way. There's a good and a bad.
In a good way. Yeah. I like that. I like the ones that look at. So typically, if somebody calls me, I'm going to send them information on a property. I'm going to tell them how I work. I like to put them on these auto emails so they can see the listings that are coming out, so that I stay in contact with them through daily emails. Well, what I like is if somebody then calls me back and says, hey, this one's interesting, and doesn't argue with me about the numbers. I can't control the price that other agents put on properties, but I'm here to tell you, is it a good location? Is it something that I would consider buying? Because I, you know, chime in with my own opinion. And then I say, hey, what other information do you need? You know, have you talked about financing? Have you talked to lenders? And I will give them a resource, a list of lenders to talk to, property managers, you name it. And that's, I consider myself a person of resource, but don't argue with me. You know, I don't make the market. I had somebody yesterday shocked at a 5.37 cap rate. And he said, well, then I'm not interested. Hey, I get that. Be honest about that, but don't say, well, why can't I get a 6 cap? So, you know, I'd love to, you know, I used to have people call me up and tell me they'd like 10% down and a 10% return. And you know, you just kind of go, oh, nice to talk to my. You know, you have to be, when you're talking to an agent that's experienced in the market, and they give you information on what the market's doing, accept it, understand it. And if you're looking for that needle in the haystack, you got to know that probably that broker can't find it for you.
Yeah, I think those are great points. And I think too, it's, I think just involving in my career is like the brokers, they have, you guys just know so much of like owner sentiment, what's going on, financing, because you're seeing the refis, right? Because you're competing seller refi. So you're seeing so much and just talking to so many people versus like you, like invest, hey, I'm in California where it's a two cap. It's like, there's risk everywhere. So what risk are you willing to buy? And that's why you see people just migrating to different markets is because of that cap rate change. But it's, I think it's just, if I always say, if you have to, like, it's a different ask like a salon or other brokers, like, hey, who are you lending? Like, who's your, you know, preferred lender? I think like you should have most of that stuff figured out on the front end, unless it's like a unique scenario of like, hey, salon, we're buying a mixed, we've never bought mixed use before, or we've never done this before, right? You've had the rapport, you, like Solange knows that we have our lending in order, or we have our KPs, we have our property management. But like, if there's weird scenarios, that's when you can rely on the Solanges of the world to help you in your corner, because there's a lot of niches, there's a lot of local county programs for stuff. So just have that in order to help Solange make your life even easier.
And understand, when you call me, I'm going to ask you what might seem like personal questions. One, I want to get to know you. I mean, a lot of times you are in another state and I may never, ever meet you. It's kind of cool. But we build a rapport and we hopefully build a level of trust. But I'm going to ask about deals you've bought. I'm going to ask about why you liked one, why you didn't like one. And that helps me, one, to feel like, well, this market fit for you. And then also, you know, just to get a better understanding, don't take it. It's not that I'm being a snoop, but, you know, give you an example. One guy argued with me once about two properties that sold. I knew the properties that sold. That's my job, to know everything that sells in my market. I gave up arguing with them. It was like, you know, okay, you think it's something different, but this is what it is. So
yeah, someone else paid this, so pound sand.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so but that's it. And you know, I try to treat everyone with respect. You calls, because you never know, you know, who that person is. I was told when we first moved here that the guy in the picture in the overalls is the one with the money.
He's not rocking Yeezys, a Lamborghini on Instagram.
Oh no. The money in this town does not drive their money.
They bury their money.
Yeah. They inherited or married. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or built. Yeah.
No, that's great. And I think too, I think one thing I see like new investors get that hurdle with is like the proof of funds. So this is my thesis on the proof of funds, and we can have a little secret time with Solange. I think if you say like proof of, if a broker asks for proof of funds, in my opinion, you said something that came across as naive, novice, like you don't have your stuff lined up. So when you get that, and Solange, correct me if I'm wrong, if you have said that, redial in the conversation, see what you said, talk to someone who's doing it, and go boom. Because I think the problem is like the broker doesn't think you can probably close, which is fine for now if you're new. But I think it's continue to have that call. It doesn't mean it's done forever and you can never, you know, get a deal. But I think it's just you need to mature as an investor and get your team better aligned to make sure that you can execute. Is that true, Solange?
Well, let me tell you how I handle that. If you're calling me, Mike, and I've never met with you before, I'm not going to ask you about proof of funds, but what I am going to ask you is, do you understand the type of financing that you're probably going to be getting? If you're going to be getting a commercial loan, you know, they're going to want 20, 25% down, depending on where the market is. Are you okay with that? And that kind of opens up the question. And then the second part of that is, hey, in this market right now, if you're making offers, it's likely that when we submit an offer, we're going to need to submit proof of funds. Just want to give you a heads up. You know, so and so I because I will never ask you to give me proof of funds, but I'm going to ask you questions again that might seem a little uncomfortable sometimes, but it's because I want to know that you are prepared and educated and understand. Hey, and then somebody will say to me, oh, got it. Okay, here, Mike, don't ask me if the seller will carry finance. Okay. The sellers are never going to carry financing in a hot market. There's no reason for it. There just isn't. Once a year, I get a seller who would list with me that for capital gains reasons, they don't want to pay taxes. So I'll get them to offer first, carrying the first loan. They're going to want 20 to 25% down like a bank. So, and then that tells me that the buyer doesn't have money.
Oh, that's good to know, because I've always been curious on it. But my thought is not as experienced. But like you said, the hot market, people want cash tomorrow.
Yeah.
They don't care if it's right whose money, but they want to get paid as fast as possible. And they want the guarantee. That's why hard money's there. Due diligence is shorter. They know that the close is probably 60 days, maybe a little bit, like maybe one extension. Right. But like, they want, if you could close tomorrow, you can lock it up and win the deal.
Yes. Yeah. So. Yeah. Cash is king. And next to that, down payment plus a market loan, that's the second part. And don't ask for any seller financing.
Anything else, Solange, that stands out in a really good way or in a really bad way that you've seen people do recently that can help our listeners become your best friend?
Ah, there you go. Well, a little birdie, a very smart person that you well know, suggested to me, or actually basically told me, that if you know you're going in on multiple offers, wait to submit your offer till the last moment, which I guess really, really does make sense. It's unnerving, but the hope is that, because listen, the seller may be saying to his agent, you know, shop these offers. You know, we've got the offer at this price. Why don't you go back and see and tell everybody, hey, we've got a full price offer. Can you beat it? So if you do something like that, perhaps.
Be first or last. Be really big first or be really big last.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, that's the hard part, because heretofore, I would say, let's jump in and make an offer. Get it in first, like you just said. The problem is that the sellers and the brokers are not responding to the first offer.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mike, you're out there. I mean, are you seeing the same thing?
I think it depends on how big that first offer is. If it's this dream number first at bat, I've seen a couple of things go preempt. But to the broker's point of view, the job is to get the highest price for the client. So I would advise probably to go last, but I've seen some stuff go preemptive. I mean, so it's, who knows, but that's why you just constantly talk. I mean, I literally have it every 3 weeks. Call Solange. Obviously, she calls me sooner, but like it's every 3 weeks we're talking at least. I mean, to be fair, so even this week, like Solange called me, hey, this happened. You want to go? Yeah. And it's quick. Be fast. So,
yeah.
And I think too, I want to hit on this. It's not always the biggest number, because like you, if you, to give context, yes, you could have the biggest offer, but did you tour the property? Do you know Solange? Do you have they worked together? What is the probability you're going to close? So you could be like $1 million higher, but Solange may not believe, or any broker would be like, well, they didn't tour it, so there's potential for retrade. I've never worked with them, so that's a risk. So versus like an offer could be less, but Solange's like, hey, they're good for it. I don't have to worry. So be careful when you're putting really big offers way above, because I've heard some brokers, it rubs them the wrong way of like, yeah, we've never worked with them before. So just be cognizant and just making sure you're touring properties as well, because that helps.
Yep, I would agree 100%. And I tell people, because, you know, the tools now, Google the address, look around the street. You know, it's easy
to
get
demographics. Make sure you get the year, because I've seen some tours in Knoxville, or it's like 9 years old is the most recent Google map drive-through. So make sure on that as well.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good.
Awesome. Well, anything else, Solange, that you want to give the listeners out there in terms of advice? Because then we can start wrapping up the show. But I just want to make sure, is there anything else anyone needs to know about you, Knoxville, or anything else in commercial real estate that you've seen?
Well, here's what I would say from an investor and a broker standpoint. Yes, it's scary. You may have buyer's remorse, fear. This is all natural. We all have it. Still do it. Like Nike says, just do it. And it's a long game. And if it was easy, everybody would do it. But the returns are worth it.
Yeah. I even on my 36 unit, I was like, I lost sleep over it, because I'm like, holy shit, we're doing it. And it's just like, it's a wild experience of just going through and just the the roller coasters of like, all right, it's a week before close, nothing bad's happened. And then the investor pulls out, lender says, no, we need more time. And you're just like, oh my God, what's happening? But it's a cool ride. And just like you said, not even like the returns are good, but also like the impact, the before and after photos, just like turning around, like just making an impact in your community is such a powerful thing. And I mean, I did it with my single family, and now just having the ability to affect more change and impact in the community and work with awesome people like you. It's been an amazing, you know, we just started. I've only been in the industry almost 3 years, but it's been an amazing ride and super excited to just help you take over the world too, Solange.
Total domination, babe.
Let's do it. So Solange, if anyone wants to reach out to you, what's the best way they can get a hold of you?
Here's my cell phone, 865-368-2787. And if I don't call you back within an hour, or if it's after midnight, please reach out to me again. Follow up with a text, and I answer the phone. I work through the weekends. I am not a 9-to-5 broker. It is not a 9-to-5 market. So I am here when you need me.
Absolutely. And that, I testament to that, because it's a message, a follow up, a call. Solange is on me more than Jake. So making sure we're seeing stuff and taking over the world. So those are the brokers you want in your corner. So I appreciate everything you, Solange. We'll put that in the show notes. And thank you so much. If anyone has questions for me, please reach out to me at miket@rancre.com. And until then, we will see you next week.
See you later. Bye, Mike.
See ya.